On the 6th day of July, 2005, the International Olympics Committee announced that the City of London would be awarded the 2012 Summer Olympics. Immediately, there was joy and celebration on the streets of London. But the joy and the gladness soon turned to tragedy when the very next day, July the 7th, there were four bombs that exploded, three in quick succession aboard the underground trains, and a few minutes later, a fourth on a double-decker bus in a coordinated terrorist suicide attack that left 52 people dead and over 700 injured. 7 years later, the world watched as London opened the 2012 Olympics in stunning and dramatic fashion. It seems the greatest drama in the Olympics these days is how the torch will enter the stadium to light the Olympic flame. The thousands of spectators in the stadium that night and millions of viewers around the world watched a live shot of a dramatically illuminated motorboat moving down the River Thames carrying the Olympic flame driven by the legendary British football hero David Beckham. As the fireworks were blasting all over the city and the London air raid sirens were blaring, the boat made its way under the Tower Bridge approaching the Olympic Stadium. And then the television images shifted back to the stadium where there was darkness. But in the darkness, gradually, you started to see the images, the shadowy images of dancers. They were all dressed in red, and they were dancing to symbolize the struggle between life and death. And then on the giant screen, you saw pictures, images of many of the victims who had lost their lives in the 2005 bombings. And then there was a voice, a lovely, haunting voice that started to sing, "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me." The same beautiful words that you just presented in such a wonderful, wonderful way. We love "Abide with me," but we can't match the British. This is one of the most popular hymns that you will find in Great Britain. It became very popular in the First World War and quickly became a favorite of the royal family. In fact, King George wanted this at his wedding, and so did Queen Elizabeth. Following the 9/11 attacks, the Salvation Army Band stood at Ground Zero and played "Abide with Me." And most recently, you may have noticed that Ken Burns used this as background music in his epic presentation on the Roosevelts. It's a hymn that we love because it is a hymn that speaks to us at the deepest level of our being. And it's based on the 24th chapter of Luke, the passage that Jim read just a few moments ago, when you had the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're joined by a stranger. They don't know who he is at first. And they reach their destination. And Jim was reading out of one of our modern translations when they said, well, we want you to stay with us. But if you read that out of the old King James Version, they said, abide with us. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Henry Francis Light was the Anglican vicar of the little town of Devonshire in England. He was a faithful pastor, a pastor who loved his people, and he proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully every Sunday. He was also a gifted hymn writer. He wrote over 100 hymns, including the words, praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, evermore his praises sing. Alleluia, alleluia, the words that we sang for our first hymn. And by the way, that beautiful hymn is based on the Old Testament lesson, Psalm 103. But when Henry Francis Light was only 51 years old, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, that terrible infectious disease that attacks the lungs. In the old days, it was often called consumption because the entire body was simply consumed by its destructive power. It's marked by an inability to breathe, by chronic coughing, coughing up blood, fatigue, night sweats, weight loss. In fact, it was so devastating in ancient times that it was commonly thought it was caused by demons. Tuberculosis was a terrible disease 100 years ago in this country for the first part of the 20th century. How many of you remember TB sanatoriums? We had a sanatorium not far from my home where I was growing up. And some of you may know that Camp Kiwanis, the camp that is so dear to many of us, that many of us support, and our youth group especially is involved, it started in 1928 as a tuberculosis preventorium. That's what it was called. And the concept was to identify children who were susceptible to TB. They would find these children, most of them living in poverty, so therefore they were malnourished. They didn't have a proper diet. And the members of the Kiwanis Club would go and get these kids, and they would bring them to camp with the purpose of, quote, fattening them up. But they wanted to give them good food to eat to increase their physical stamina and strength. That was the reason the camp was started. I tell people today it was started to target children who were susceptible to TB. And now we find children who are susceptible to TV. Well, when Henry Light contracted this disease in 1844... 25% of the deaths in Europe were the result of tuberculosis. It was a death sentence. For 3 years, his family watched the disease take its toll. They finally decided if they could send him to a warmer climate, then maybe that would make a difference. He was so weak that he was unable to preach. His parish, everybody in the community had watched as this gifted and vigorous minister succumbed slowly to this destructive disease. He barely left the house. They never saw him on Sunday. And they said, well, maybe if we could send him somewhere. And they made arrangements to send him to Italy, to be on the Mediterranean, so that a warmer climate might make a difference. So the family made arrangements for him to leave in mid-September in a last-ditch effort to save his life. But a few days before the final Sunday, before his departure, he announced to his family that he wanted to preach one more time. His family was shocked. They were stunned. They told him that there was no way that he could preach. He didn't have the strength. He didn't have the stamina. He didn't have the breath. They said it would be destructive for you to stand in the pulpit and to try to preach. You're simply not able to do it. But he was determined. He told his family, even if it kills me, God called me to preach. This is what I intend to do. And so on the morning of September the 4th, 1847, Henry Light stood in the pulpit one last time. He knew that this would be his final sermon. And he chose as his text Luke 24, the scripture that Jim shared with us. And as he read his text, speaking not much louder than a whisper, the congregation hung on every word as he whispered, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And then he talked about the abiding presence of Christ and about inviting Christ to come and abide with us, about the end of life and the comfort that only Christ can bring. That afternoon, he surprised his family again when he had enough strength to walk out to the beach. And then he went back into his room. They assumed, they knew he was exhausted, and they thought he had gone to sleep. But a couple of hours later, he emerged with some words. He had written the words, "Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide." He wrote five stanzas. And a few weeks later, before he reached his destination, Henry Light was dead. That's a powerful story, is it not? Of a man standing before his people for the final time. And the scripture that he selected was a prayer inviting God to abide with us. But if you look at those beautiful words of the hymn that we will sing in just a few minutes, you will notice that it's much more than a hymn about death, but it's a hymn about life. And at the very end of that beautiful hymn, he writes, "In life and in death, O Lord, abide with me." If we invite Christ to abide with us, we're asking him to come into our life. And we must honor him with our commitment. We must honor him with our gifts. We must honor him with our devotion. What does it mean to invite Christ to abide with us? If that is our prayer today, if it is more than just the hymn that we sing today, to invite Jesus to abide with us, number one, means that I will honor him. You notice that even before they knew it was Jesus, they invited him into their home. And who was it that broke the bread? It was Jesus. And it was in the breaking of the bread that they recognized him. But that tells us that they gave him the place of honor, that they put him at the very head of the table, that when they invited him to come into their home, He wasn't just a secondary guest. He was the most important one in their house. And if we honor Christ, we honor Him by making Him the most important one. You know, for all of us, and the society in which we live is one that keeps us busy and we're pulled in every direction. But for all of us, we need to ask the question, is Christ just a part of my life? Or is He the priority of my life? Is He just someone who's there when we need Him? Times of sickness, facing death, times of distress. Of course we all need Him. But what about the rest of life? What about asking Him to be our guide, to be our constant companion, to be the Lord of our life? Is Jesus a part of our life, or is He the priority of our life? And if we invite Jesus to abide with us, will we follow Him? Will we follow Him wherever He leads? One of the exciting things about the church, if we truly believe that the church is divinely inspired, that the church does not exist merely on tradition, but we believe in the living presence of Christ, when we have the Bible opened for each service, when we have the Christ candle with its flame burning, we believe that Jesus is alive and He is in this place, and if we're faithful to follow Him, we will follow Him wherever He leads us. One of the problems with churches, because we're so built around tradition, is we simply do the things that we've always done the same way we've always done them. But what if God is leading us into a new direction? The Scripture speaks of singing a new song. It speaks of Christ who makes all things new. I believe a sign of a living church is when we're going in directions that we have never been before. And if God is leading us, will we be faithful to follow? And if we invite Jesus to abide with us, will we be faithful? You know, hymns are so important because they do speak to us on different levels. And perhaps the most powerful thing about a hymn is when there's a personal association, when it brings back a memory, when we associate it with a powerful moment in our life. When Paul first told me that the choir would be singing, "Abide with Me," I immediately thought about my friend, Larry Rollins. I never sing "Abide with Me," I never hear "Abide with Me," without thinking about my friend. Larry Rollins was a leader among the young people in my church growing up. I was 2 years younger than Larry. But the young people in that church would follow Larry anywhere he went. Anything Larry told us to do, we would do it. He was that type of leader. One of the exciting things in our church is to watch these children grow up and to develop and then become a part of the youth ministry. And then you begin to see different ones who emerge as the leaders. And one of the great signs of a dynamic youth ministry is when you have young people who are leaders. I mean, we're blessed in this church to have so many dedicated lay leaders, but we can't do it without the young people. Well, Larry was that type of young person. Larry organized a Bible study for the young people, just the young people. We didn't ask any adults to come. We did it on our own. Larry was somebody who would always take a proactive stand on almost anything. Perhaps one of the most daring things he did, which wasn't very smart, Now, this is back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And you know what most of the men did between Sunday school and church? They smoked. I mean, that's what everybody did. They'd go out and smoke. So Larry went out there one day, pulled out a pack of cigarettes, started to light it, and the men said, no, son, you can't do that. He said, why not? You're doing it. That didn't go over too well. My daddy was one of those out there smoking. But Larry made his point. Nothing bothered Larry. He was strong. He was courageous. He was dynamic. When Larry turned 16, like most of us, the first day he went and got his driver's license. 3 days later, he was involved in an accident. It was on a Wednesday afternoon. We were all at church. The young people were out playing, wondering where Larry was, when the news came that Larry had been in a serious accident, that he was critically injured. And I'll never forget all of the young people in a circle in the field, getting on our knees and praying for Larry. But Larry didn't make it. At his funeral service, the youth choir, of which I was a part because Larry told me I needed to be, sang, "Abide with Me." And I never hear that without thinking about him. Without thinking about a young man whose life was cut short at the age of 16, but he was always faithful. He was always committed. There was not a timid bone in his body. He was somebody who lived his life for Jesus. And I think about that because now, almost half a century later, I realize that God has blessed me with the gift of life, that I've been able to live my life. I've been able to raise a family. I've been blessed with children and grandchildren. I've been honored to stand before a congregation most every Sunday and proclaim the good news. Have I been faithful? Have I been faithful because Larry is up there in that great cloud of witnesses? And I never hear "Abide with Me" without comparing myself to him, saying, "Larry, am I running the race with the faithfulness that you ran it?" Pray with me. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. O Lord, abide with us in this church. Come into our presence. May we honor you. May we follow you. And may we be faithful to you. As we invite you into our life, we pray that we would honor you in our commitment. In Jesus' name, amen.